This is sort of week four of 4 weeks that we've spent looking at some of the pillars or the values of the church. And the first 3 weeks that we've talked about character, and in the first week about how grace gets godly character. And we talked about community, and Penny talked about how that's expressed in what we do and how we interact with each other, and how grace changes us and therefore changes how we interact and deal with each other, and how we have that sense of support and structure. And last week, Andrew spoke about being charismatic, not charis crazy, and how the importance of having God living within us, and how that transforms us, and how that enables us, and how that's an expression of God's grace and love in us. And so the fourth C, they just happen to all start with C, is creative. And I had intended, hadn't it been for my shoulder up, I was going to come up and do an expressive dance, you know, and create and do a wee mime thing, you know, or had all these things planned, but unfortunately God intervened to save my own and Heather's embarrassment with that. But creativity, people think that, oh, what's he going to talk about when he's creative? What does that really mean? But actually, this all ties in perfectly with the other three components, because ultimately, how God has dealt with us and how God loves us and our standing in God changes how we interact with each other, who we are, changes at the very deepest part of our being, just what we are and how we respond to each other, but also to the environment and how we express that. And we want to express that. And creativity is the most natural thing in the world. You look at kids. It's amazing how kids just want to be creative, yet creativity is something that is unique to man. And by mankind, I mean, okay, man and woman, to humans. As human beings, we naturally want to take the world around us, to shape it and to express ideas and concepts and to make stuff with it. We don't see that in any other part of creation. Something very unique in it, and it's something that I believe is a hallmark or a shadow, if you like, of the image of God that we were created in. The number one, the ultimate creator. The Bible starts and says, in the beginning, God created. And so God is a creator, and he's given us this world to be stewards of and to use that world, and we can use it in a really fantastic way to create and to express. It's fantastic. Now, yesterday was interesting. Penny and Andrew and the kids and me and Kathy were around the house for a barbecue, and Ben Toogood, as you saw last week, I might clear up the whole makeup thing later on. As you saw last week, Ben's fantastic at making videos and stuff. And he got our two boys, and they disappeared. Now, actually, hard enough work. Like, two boys, they're 7 and 6. And, you know, normally they're there all the time wanting to be entertained. But the three of them disappeared for hours yesterday. And they were making this video. And we're going to show it just as a for us to have a wee look at. That's brilliant. Now, what amazes me is that, you know, you get three boys can disappear for hours with an iPhone and whatever they have around them, with some Lego figures and garden. And I obviously saw a nice sort of water feature, waterfall there that Heather has. I've been building it for about 3 years, so my creativity, it's gone in fits and starts and sprung a leak and whatever. So, but what they do is they take whatever's around them in the environment, and they're able to create with it and express something with it. It's fantastic. And do you know what? They were having the time of their life. They really enjoyed it. They're buzzing. Our boys are buzzing this morning about it. God has given us this amazing world. He's done so many great and amazing things in us and for us. And he wants us to enjoy that and to use that in a creative way to express to other people the message of the goodness of grace and who we are. And that's creativity. So you might have thought, oh, Phil's going to talk about creativity. He's going to get all highbrow. He's going to be as arts, or I'm not very creative, or I'm not very artistic, or I can't play musical instruments, or I can't do certain things. And so that creative bit doesn't really apply to me. That's wrong. Every one of us, God has planted this ability to create within us. Okay. And we can do it in a whole range and host of different ways. And actually, in being creative, what we can do, in using this gift that's within us all, it's a very powerful way to frame the context of the world in which we live. And so as we shape and explore and express the reality of the world around us and the reality of the world within us, we externalize those abstract sort of ideas and concepts. And what I want to do is if we put up the first bit here, Colossians chapter 1, it's such a meaty, phenomenal passage that we'll work through. But It says, for he, that's Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile him to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, there's a lot in that. There's a lot in that, and we could take ages to unpick it, but I want to just see and pick out a few key things on it. But first and foremost, what we see here is that the grand narrative of all of history and all of time is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything is about Jesus. Everything. That's what that's basically saying. All of creation, all of human experience, everything seen, everything unseen, everything visible, everything invisible, finds its origin and its sustenance in the person of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, everything, all of creation, all of human experience, everything is first and foremost expressed in the person of Jesus. And it's all about him. It's all about God's great story, God's great plan of rescue, of redemption, of forgiveness and reconciliation. All of history, everything, life, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. That's it, first and foremost. There isn't lots of different little stories. There is one big story. The finger of God it points throughout history and points directly towards Jesus. Everything is about him. Everything. And it's not just about him in who he is in his person, although that's sort of primarily it, but it's in his action, and his action is primarily about saving people. It's his love. It's his grace. It's the love that he has for us. We see Jesus as the image of the invisible God. That's pretty phenomenal. He makes the invisible visible. And that all the fullness of God dwells in him. Jesus is fully God. All the fullness, every single bit, dwells in Jesus. All things are created in him, through him, and for him. And that Jesus' death on the cross has reconciled all things to him. So what that means, in practical terms, what does that mean? That means there is nothing, no situation, nothing through history or time, no experience, no situation, no circumstance that you ever find yourself in that does not find itself found within Jesus, is not covered by Jesus and what he's done on the cross. Everything. It's pretty good. Quite remarkable that everything that we face, everything in this church that we encounter, all find its place and its ultimate fulfillment and meaning in the person of Jesus. And so Jesus shows us things not as they appear, but as they really are. So it's all about him. And when we view things from this, if you like, worldview, where Jesus is put at the center of all history, at the center of everything else, then it changes how we view reality. It changes how we view everything. And so my favorite passage in the whole of the Bible is John 1, the Gospel of John. Let's put that up. There we go. I've abridged a couple of bits. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word we're talking about is Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And shooting down to verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we have received, and grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, only the only begotten Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus is this ultimate fusion of form and content. He's this ultimate fusion of man and God. He's fully God. He's fully man. He is truth. He is light. He is the image of God. And when we see him, we see the original purpose for all reality and for our own lives. And what we see there is that Jesus is a way of expressing the truth and the power of God. And so when we talk about being creative, what we're talking about is expressing who we are. We're using the world around us to express, but first and foremost, that true expression will only ever really find its, or expression will find its truth when it's expressed in the person and through the person and the work of Jesus. And so we can get ultimate expression and ultimate creativity and enjoy this world, first and foremost, whenever we express who we are in Jesus. And that's a central theme to what we're talking about here and in the church. Because we as the church are the bride of Christ, and we can bring that unity of character and community and the Spirit, expressing that relationship to Jesus creatively in whatever we do to other people around us. You see, what we do is an expression of who we are. Is that right? What you do expresses who you are. So the way you act, the way you behave, and the things that you do expresses what's inside. So we talk a lot here about, you know, if you do stuff externally and try to be something that you're not in the inside, that doesn't work. But that grace changes people from the inside out, and that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and changes us from the inside out, and we express, therefore, what we are internally. And you know what? I grew up in sort of the typical traditional evangelical Northern Ireland background, and the whole focus wasn't really on being very creative. It was all on, you know, turning up and sitting on it, and it was really all about just preaching and the word, and there was no other avenue or ability in life or in the church to ever express oneself creatively. Is that familiar to maybe to people who've been brought up in the church? And you know what? Religion is really good at squeezing out any bit of creativity that people have in their life. It's really good at squeezing out your ability to express who you are, your own unique identity. It's really good at telling you you have to conform to a certain set of rules and regulations. You have to behave in a certain way. It's very good at saying that the external appearance of stuff is important, and actually what you do is more important than who you are. That's what religion tells us. Religion is something that says looking good is placed above being good. And so sometimes in some churches, and in my experience growing up in church at times, was the idea of being able to enjoy and express myself creatively within the context of Jesus and within the context of my faith wasn't there. So that was something that was kept separate. That's all right, you can do all this other stuff, but it was never brought in under the whole message in the life as a follower of Christ. Is that familiar to people? Yeah. And so sometimes in the church it's really hard to say, how do you be creative? How do you really express yourself? The challenge is then you go outside the church and you look at it in today's world. It's even more difficult sometimes because we're constantly told how to act, how to look, how to dress, how to behave, how to respond, how to feel, how to consume, what to buy, what to look like, aren't we? So in the church you're told this here doesn't leave much room for expression. We're sort of sold a bit of a pup, generally, I think, because the world tells you you've got all this freedom as long as you do this. Yeah? You've all this choice. You can have any car you want as long as it's in black, as the famous sort of Henry Ford quote. Any color you want, rather, as long as it's black. And so we project this image of ourselves that we think others want to see. Yeah? We all do it. And we live vicariously through various ways of expressing who we are in God. And mostly nowadays, we live and we express that digitally, don't we? We express it in this cyber reality. We create alter egos or simulations of the best parts of who we are. Because I look at some people on Facebook and I can't quite recognize them from what I see on Facebook and what I see in reality. It's often a wee bit different. Because what we do is we take the bits that we like, the bits we aspire to, the bits that we think other people will like, and we put them right out there on Facebook or Instagram or wherever, and we adopt these different personas, and that is almost become, that's the real me there. And then sometimes you think, well, what's real anymore? What is the real me? I think we're living in a world where we go, well, what is the real me? And I think, well, what we're trying to say here in this church is that the real you can only be found when it's found in Jesus. There's a quote by Federico Fellini, is a film director, and he wrote this a few years ago. He said, He's talking about television, but I think we could extend it beyond things. He says, television has mutilated our capacity for solitude. It has violated our inmost private and secret dimension. Enslaved by an invading ritual, we fix our gaze on a bright screen which casts up billions of things that annul one another in a dizzying spiral. Peace only comes when we turn it off. At 11 o'clock or midnight, great fatigue descends upon us. We go to bed with an uneasy conscience, and in the night, with closed eyes, we try to renew, like a broken thread, the inner silence that was ours. It's all pervading, isn't it? The phone is always there. It's always just how we look at Facebook. You can take it to bed. He was writing this a number of years ago. You switch the TV off and you go to bed. You take it to bed. It invades every part of our life. It's in it right into your bedroom, into every component of your life. These images are sent to us all the time. And we lose, I think, any sight of what is important and what's real and where it fits. And we see stuff that's real, but is it really real? Or is it cyber reality? Is it an alter ego? What is it? And then somewhere like that, what I find anyway, is that it's kind of hard. And I find that little broken silence, that thread gets torn. And by solitude and spending time, first and foremost, in the presence of God, and rest and in solitude, then I can start to renew that thread and to find solace. The problem is, where do you find your place? Where do you find reality? Where can you find true expression? Because sometimes we confuse reality with its own image. Does that make sense? But these 4 sort of Sundays that we've been talking about things is about what characterizes Exchange Church Belfast. Because I would say we want to, here at Exchange, to redeem reality and to redeem it primarily where it is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in him, this is the beauty of it, under grace, in him, in Jesus, we are freed from the appearance of things to the reality of what they actually are. It is only through the lens of grace that we can see things as they really are. They're no longer simulations. They're no longer just appearances. They're no longer just sort of these things that we're trying to project, but it's truth and it's real because Jesus is truth. And his love can redeem us from seeking to portray an image of who we are, and it gives us our true identity, because your true identity this morning is that you are loved by God, you're called by God, and he holds you in highest regard. He is... Everybody read that book, The Shack? Yeah, brilliant book. Fantastic book to read. Really is brilliant. I certainly recommend it. But they have this sort of these representations of God, and as God, as a, in one instance of it, is sort of this large African-American woman. And he talks to the guy and says, I'm very fond of you. You know, I'm really fond of him. God is really fond of you this morning. He's not an angry God. He's not trying to catch you out. He's not trying to pick holes. He knows you. He knows every little bit about you. He doesn't know the Facebook you. He doesn't know the persona you paint on when you go to work on a Monday morning. He doesn't know the Exchange Church on a Sunday morning you. He knows all the amalgamation of every one of you there is. And he loves it. And he loves you. Every last part of you, he loves you. He loves us with a love that we can't even begin to fathom. He loves us so much that God himself, actually came, took on flesh, the Word of God, organized all of history in such a way that he could come and demonstrate how much he loves you, to reconcile, redeem, and to rescue you, as we saw in Colossians there. That's what it's all about. Why? Because he loves you. And we tell people every week, and Andrew tells people every week here, there's no condemnation. When God looks at you, what does he see? A failure? No, he sees Jesus. He sees someone who has the righteousness of Christ. Does he see your mistakes? Does he see your sins? Does he see your darkest parts? No, why? Because they're all covered with what Jesus has done. So the first thing that God thinks when he sees you is love. And he loves you this morning. And so grace is given freely. And we saw there, we'll go to the previous slide, guys, just where there's John 1. It says that grace, he gave us grace upon grace. And what that's trying to say, when you look at the original translation of that, he says, grace on grace. It's like it's piling on, and here's some more grace, and I'm giving you grace, and there's some more. And you know what? It's not just an idea. It's not just a concept. It's an actual physical reality, because it's a person in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law came with Moses. Grace came with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how I show you and express to you in the physical created realm to show you just how much I love you. Because words are not enough. We have to demonstrate them. God, he loves us. And so this grace frees us. It sets us free. It's great. We're free to be ourselves. Freely, free to express who you are. You don't have to keep up a bit of a show. It's brilliant. You look very miserable for some of the people I've just told. It's good news. It is good news, seriously. Honestly, it's not. I'm not trying to sell you a pup here. It seriously is good news. He really does love you that much. It's hard to believe. Because you say, like, you can't, like, seriously, that's all that talk. But if he really knew what I did this week, or he really knew what was in my heart, if he really knew my intentions, he does, and he still loves you more than you will ever know, imagine, think, or explain. And so it allows us to therefore just express and to enjoy and be free in God. Isn't it brilliant? Because you will know the truth, you will know Jesus, the person, and the truth shall set you free. We look there and it says that Jesus is the Word and the Spirit. Yeah. He's the Word, he's truth. Truth and grace came through Jesus, in the person of Jesus. He came, he says, I will send my Spirit, we talked about last week, will live in you. And so we see the Word and Spirit coming together, not as some abstract thoughts or ideas of things that you can't see, but the Word in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in the person of the Holy, and the Spirit in the person of the Holy Spirit, we see coming and moving and working in us. Real physical expressions, not abstract concepts. What is creation? And what is being creative? What is creativity? Taking ideas, concepts, and making them physical manifestations, or making the physical expression of those things. Can you see that? It's amazing. And so our lives are supposed to reflect that. And if we go to the next slide, guys. And so 2 Corinthians 3 and 3, this is from the Message translation. Your lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. Or the old-fashioned, you know, your epistle open and read of all men. You remember the King James Version, perhaps? Christ himself wrote it. Not you. Okay? You're not writing it. Christ himself wrote it. Why? Because who we are is not what we make ourselves. It's what he makes us. Not with ink, but with God's living Spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. Your lives are the greatest work of art that you could ever imagine. Your lives are the greatest act of creativity you could ever see. Van Gogh, Vincent van Gogh, I don't have it here, but Vincent van Gogh, he was a preacher. Did you know that before he was sort of an artist? He was an evangelist. But he wrote that Jesus was the greatest artist of all time because he did not work with a medium like paint. Or did he write words or books, because he didn't leave them? But he worked with the greatest of all mediums, the greatest of all materials, human flesh. And look at the great and wonderful lives and legacy that he has created. And the greatest work of art of all are you and me. You're a work of art. And we can express and enjoy that work of art creatively in how we live and how we express the love of God and the grace of God in our lives. Because you are a book that everyone's reading. You're a movie on iTunes. If we've probably been writing that nowadays, you're a painting. You're an animation. You're a music. You're a song. You're a poem. You're a picture made by God to show how good he is and how much he loves you and loves every one of us. And the shift, therefore, goes away from trying to portray ourselves as what we think others want to see, but actually as an expression of who we are in God. And he, by that grace, changing us from the inside out, means that we can express that in a natural, free, liberated way. Because in a world of simulations, I believe that the vibrant, transformed body of believers, living in the liberty of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, centered on Jesus is the greatest expression of the authenticity of the gospel you will ever find. I'm going to say that again. In a world of simulations, the vibrant, transformed body of believers living in the liberty of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, centered on Jesus, is the greatest expression of the authenticity of the gospel. It doesn't get better than that. An exchange church is a place where people, transformed by the love of God, confident of our position in God. We're confident. I can stand here and say, there is no condemnation this morning in me. Therefore, I can boldly approach the throne of grace, and God will help me in time of need. I can say that, not because I'm good, not because I, who does he think he is, but because I know who I have believed. Confident in our position in God, not trying to earn God's approval, not trying to show God how great we are, but I can find a place in God where I can dream, where I can engage, I can enjoy, and then I can express all I am in him. And that's what we want this church to be. That's a hallmark of this church. Free to be who we are and enter into the fullness of God. People who can fully realize their potential in God. We can be a people in this church. We want this church to be full, every one of us here. Do you want to fulfill your full potential in God? Absolutely. We want to discover, to use, and to grow the gifts that God's given us, every one of us. And to do so in a way that expresses the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of God and the grace of God in our lives. God has put giftings in everybody here. Some of them more conventional than others, some of them a little bit out there. Do you know what? Isn't that brilliant? And this church should be a church that is free enough to enjoy the whole wonder and breadth of God's creativity and our creativity. Wouldn't it be pretty dull if the only part of the world that you could ever enjoy was just stuck inside this room? Have you seen the flowers? Have you seen the seas? Have you seen the mountains? Have you seen the nature? Have you seen the rest of it? It's amazing. Why would we limit our sphere of expression to one simple, solitary way of just doing conventional church? Would we not, as a group of believers, want to express our relationship with God and express the giftings that God places in as many different ways as there are faces here? It's about expressing fully. And you know what? It's not about success, therefore. It's not about doing it in a way that we try to get other people to think we're great, but we do it because, just like those stones, whenever Jesus went into Jerusalem and the people were crying, he said, stop them crying out. And he says, if they weren't going to shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, he says, the very stones would cry out. We can't but tell of the things that God has done for us. And it's 100% about who we're expressing, not about us who are expressing it. 100%. The songs we sing, pictures we paint, the music we play, if they're not first and foremost about expressing externally our internal condition and position in God, then the focus will shift to be on those things rather than on him. And then, what's the point? If the focus is about selling records or getting X number of hits on a YouTube channel, or it's about people buying albums, it's getting signed to go on tour. Is that really what it's all about? Seriously. I would suggest these things and that whole subculture of what we see in the church, and so often where people's focus is about wanting to make it big, like seriously, are modern day equivalent of the money changers' tables that Jesus just came in and threw over. People needed things to go and sacrifice when they were in the temple. They needed them. These guys had turned it into a business. It's about expressing the power and the love and the grace and the glory of God. Same for preachers. The message of this church is that God loves you. And you can't make God love you more or less. Nothing you can do is going to make God love you more. We don't really believe that. We hear it, we say it, but do we really believe it and do we really embrace it? You can't make God love you more. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He really loves you. And you know what? no matter what you do, he's never going to love you less. And that power of knowing and confidently knowing that there's the power of God will transform our lives, and that grace of God changes, and he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. That's the message of this church. And that is the mission of this church, to let as many people know around the world how much God loves us, and that in the person of Jesus, he is the center of all history and all creation. Do you know what it's not about? It's not about making sure Andrew Toogood is a world-renowned preacher and tours the world and gets signed up for big conferences and writes books and gets lots of hit. If those things happen and they reach lots of people and that's what God's will is, brilliant. But if that becomes a goal, then we're stuffed. It's not about any single individual. The driver for all we do has to be the grace and the love of God. Because if it's more than just Jesus, then Jesus plus anything ceases to be grace. So it's not about expressing creativity because, oh, yeah, this is my gifting. God's called me. I'm an artist. You know, don't get in the way of me expressing my gifts. I'll trample all over you and I'll be really, you know, ambitious. But, you know, it's my gifting because God's, seriously. Let's be sensible about it. It's about the love and the grace and the glory of God. And if anything gets in the way of that, then it ceases to be grace. We move into law and we undermine the heart of what the gospel is. And we start to, if you like, completely work at odds with what we read first off in Colossians. We want this church to be full of people who are transformed, empowered, delivered, confident, liberated men and women of God. And you know what? You're not going to get that unless it's by grace. Can you see it? Can you see where I'm coming from with all this? Because the hypnotic flow of media images has conditioned us to perceive this hyper-real world so enamored with spectacle that it is stripped of its true nature. Idiotized before the recycled images of 24-hour wall-to-wall TV, saturated by marketing pleas to purchase even more, bombarded with sounds, pictures, and the cyber din of virtual reality, man has lost the ability to see things as they really are. Constantly immersed, never finding himself in the place of silence or free from distraction, he has become the product of 1,000 different people, 1,000 different ads, a cacophony of voices, each pulling in separate directions. But in contrast, the Christian sees the hand of the Creator in the world and accepts, first and foremost, the role of God. This vantage point, and this vantage point alone, shifts our view from the aesthetics of life on how it looks to a deeper appreciation as the world as the work of the Creator. See, creativity and being creative is not one of the pillars or values of this church because we want to be cool. It's quite cool to be creative, isn't it? You know, it looks good. You know, stick that on the church, but creative church looks nice. It's not there because of that. It's not because we want to look good. You know why? It's there because we've encountered Jesus and we can't help but express that, and we want to express in as many different ways, and we want to give freedom to that expression for you to be who you are fully in God. We want to transform how we view the world, and therefore, as a consequence, we cannot but fail to express that in different ways. Because our identity, this is important, our identity is not defined by our color, our class, our gender, our sexual orientation, our job, our wealth, our good looks, our health. All these things lie beneath our identity as children of God. All of them. And this alone, our identity as a child of God, defines who we are and is the basis for our creative expression of the love and redemption of Jesus in every part of our lives. There is not one part of my life where I cannot express the love and the power and the grace of God. It's not just for church. It's for tomorrow morning, I was going to say, when I go to work, when I'm sitting at home convalescing after shoulder surgery. When you go to work, there is not a work me and a church me. There is not a home me and a public me. There is no separation. It's all in all because it all consists and exists in Jesus. And therefore, in everything I do, I can express how good God has been to me. And I want to use the gifts I can do that creatively, passionately, excellently, in a way that shows people how good a God I serve. that redefines me, and that my first defining feature is my relationship to God and none of those other things. And if any of those things tries to supersede my identity in Christ, then it ceases to be grace. It's about placing Jesus at the center of every aspect of our life. Abraham Cooper said, "There is not a single inch of the whole terrain of human existence over which Christ does not exclaim, 'Mine.'" Every bit. And so if we want to really enjoy, if we want to really express what it means to be children and followers of God, first and foremost, it means about putting Jesus at the center. It's about realizing and knowing and coming into a revelation of the love and power of God for us. It's recognizing that there is nothing that we can do to define ourselves in a way any better than God has already defined us, and that it's Jesus plus nothing defines who I am. And therefore, do you know what? You're free to be yourself. Do you enjoy painting? Paint for God. Do you enjoy singing? Sing for God. Do you enjoy doing whatever? Do it for God. It's not about saying that if Exchange Church is creative, it means everybody has to also be all arty and creative. Because some people hate that, don't you? Some people go, "I hate those arty types." Some people are a bit like that. Not that anyone would hate anybody in this church. But some people, you know, think, you know what arty types are like? They're a bit out there, you know. I'm not arty at all, therefore creativity doesn't really apply to me. Yes, it does. It's everything. You can be creative. You can make an art of everything you do. It tells us in 2 Corinthians, it says, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. Whatever you're doing, make it an art form. If you're washing floors, make it an art form. See, we were saying, yes, I was barbecuing yesterday, and I'm going, there's an art in this. You know, there's an art, and you've got to turn these sausages at the right time. It's where it's got to be. It's just got to be right, because I want it to be more than just cooking some stuff. I want it to be really good. I want it to be an art form. I want to be a student of my craft. I want to be and make whatever you do the art of what you do, and express that position and identity of who you are in Christ, and that excellence that Jesus fusion in whatever you're going to do this week. And whatever we do in this church, we do it as an expression of our relationship to Jesus. So we're not sloppy about it. We don't. It'll just do. For Jesus, it'll be all right. It'll just do. Didn't come in. Did it? Think about it. Jesus' first miracle. Run out of wine, Jesus. Okay, bring the pots in, and I'm going to give you the cheap, you know, 250 bottle of wine out a little. That wasn't happening. He goes, this is the best wine we've ever tasted. Most people leave the cheap, chippy stuff to the end, but you've brought the best stuff. Jesus goes, it wasn't enough just to be, it had to be brilliant. It was really good wine. Jesus, there's 5,000 people here, plus women and children, and we need to feed them. Well, we've got 5 loaves, 2 fish, no problem. Do you know what? I'm going to leave 12 baskets left over, because it's not just having enough, that you've just had enough and we're full. That'll do us right until we get something to eat. Do you know what? I'm going to fill your boots, and I'm going to have stuff left over. That's how Jesus does things. That's how we should do. That should characterize how we create. Being adequate is never just good enough. It's saying, it's going to be good, and it's going to be brilliant, even better. And those signs, as John talks about, were visual expressions of the nature of God, the superabundance. The superabundance of God, more exceedingly abundantly above ever all that you could ask or think. Let's start dealing with this world. Let's start dealing with each other. Let's start expressing ourselves in ways that it's not just adequate, but that it is a way that brings glory to God, and that it's all about Him. Is that a good word this morning? Hopefully, I think it's great. I've enjoyed it anyway. Hopefully, you have anyway. I had a great time preparing it this week. I will get that dance for you for the next time, but let's stand.